We read today from the book of Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We are God's. We belong to the one who creates all things, in whose image all people are made. We are Christ's. He has loved us, healed us, called us, and anointed us with his Spirit. We belong to his death and resurrection and ministry. We are the Spirit's. We belong to the church, the body of Christ. God gives us the gifts of forgiveness, resurrection, and eternal life, and the gift of participating in the healing of the world by God's grace. As God's beloved, we devote ourselves to God and to God's will, wholly, joyfully, and with the help of Christ. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter, verses 20 through 33. The story, of course, about Jesus, well, indirectly. I share this reading with you this morning from the Message. Pay close attention to the words of this story. There were some Greeks in town who had come up to worship at the feast. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us?" Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip together told Jesus. Jesus answered, "Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. God will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Right now I am storm-tossed. And what am I going to say? God, get me out of this? No. This is why I came in the first place. I'll say, God, put your glory on display. A voice came out of the sky. I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. The listening crowd said, thunder. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, the voice didn't come for me, but for you. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out. And I, as I am lifted up from the earth, will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. He put it this way to show how he was going to be put to death. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. The scripture reading from the Gospel of John that we just shared together, it actually gets a little bit ahead of itself. You see, in John's Gospel, this story comes after Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday isn't till next week, so we're a little bit out of order today. But that's not important. It's the story itself that's important to us this morning. Some Greeks come to town for the festival. This is the Passover festival that they're talking about in John's Gospel. Now, these are Gentiles. These are our Greeks that have come to be a part of the festival. And they say that they want to see Jesus. They ask one of the disciples, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us? Don't we all want to see Jesus? There are many ways that we can, that we say that we see Jesus. Maybe not in person, of course, but through nature, through family, through the love that is expressed to us by family, friends, and even strangers. Those are times when we get maybe a glimpse of Jesus, if we're paying attention to that. Usually it's after we've had that experience. If we want to see Jesus, we could look at the picture that every church has, the painting that portrays Jesus. We've got one that's down in the library. We all want to experience, to see Jesus in the world, calling to us. We all want to recognize him, kind of like looking for Waldo. You remember those books? Where's Waldo? We look for Jesus because we want to see Jesus. Well, these Greeks want to see Jesus too. And they ask Philip if they can see him. Now, if Philip was kind of a smart aleck, I imagine him saying, you see that guy over there next to the guy in the red tunic? That's Jesus. See him? There, he's right there. See? But that's not what the Greek had in mind. That's not what they meant by asking if they could see Jesus. Has anybody ever explained something to you that you weren't quite sure about, that you didn't fully understand, and then you say to them, oh, I see. I understand now. That's what those folk, those Greeks, were after, I believe. They wanted to understand Jesus. They'd heard about Jesus. Jesus was a popular guy for a number of reasons. And they had some questions about him. They wanted to understand more about Jesus. They wanted to get an in-depth understanding of who Jesus was, what his purpose was, why he was there, what he was teaching. And let's be honest. Jesus isn't the easiest guy to understand, is he? He doesn't think like the rest of the world thinks. He talks about this realm of God, this kingdom of God thing that isn't of this world, but still is right in the midst of everyone, in the midst of the world itself. He talks about love and forgiveness. In a world where love and forgiveness isn't always practiced very well. In other words, the ways of the world aren't the ways of Jesus, and that's hard to understand, to get one's mind around. And now he's been telling his disciples, and he says again in this piece of scripture we shared this morning, that he's going to die, he's going to be lifted up. That's hard to understand too, isn't it? Instead of running for safety to hide out until things die down a little bit, he walks straight into what is coming for him. Hard for folk to understand, even us today. Jesus will die because of his beliefs, because of his teachings. It will end his life. But as disciples who seek to understand, so must we die to the ways of the world in which we live. To end the life that we know that we live for a more fulfilling life that Jesus offers. A life that's hard to understand when we're distracted by so much that the world gives to us and teaches us. But nonetheless are called to take up and to live out. Jesus has come for all of this, to teach us all of this. And though we get uncomfortable about that sometimes, he's come to judge the world and the way that life is in the world. In study this week, I ran across a quote from the New International Version of the Bible, the New Interpreter's Commentary on the Bible, and is talking about what Jesus has come to do. It says this: judgment has come upon this world and its ruler, and its ruler is driven out when life is not clung to on the world's term, when the needs of the poor are given lip service, and military might or political dominance receive primary attention. Life is held onto in a way that Jesus reprobates, that Jesus rejects. Following Jesus is, from first to last, from beginning to end, about letting go. We are called to let go of the life of the way the world teaches it, the way that the world portrays it. And when we do that, life as we know it, as the world knows it, is driven out. And the kingdom of God enters in. It's still taking place. It's still happening. Every time we let go of life as it is and grab onto life as it should be, the life that Jesus offers and exemplifies. The season of Lent, this season of Lent that we're now in, for only two more weeks, is for this purpose. In the Seekers group this morning, we were talking about the season of Lent and how it's been taught and portrayed, and in a number of ways. For some, Lent is a season of repentance, of reflection. In other words, of letting go of how we live, who we are, and taking on something new. To understand, to see Jesus in a new light. It's a lifelong journey for each and every one of us to come to new understandings of who Jesus is in our lives and in the world. See that he's not only out there, but within each and every one of us. As Jeremiah writes, as David shared with us, that God's law written on our hearts, that Jesus is written on our hearts, and what he teaches us. May we in this season of Lent continue our practice of letting go and grabbing on to new things, new understandings of the one that we follow and of the people God expects us to be. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.